The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is your hometown girl, Shadate Hargett Hill, from the North Carolina Reading Service. This is Connect to Success. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from ncdhhs.gov website, museumnext.com, and rollstool.com. All the information we bring to you are great stories and information of inspiration and educational resources that we hope will help you to connect to your own success. First, we're getting started with the ncdhhs.gov website and their information. We want to bring more attention back to them and their website and what they're doing to help people. Before we begin, we want to tell you exactly what they're about if you don't know. And if you do, this is just a little recap for you to know a little bit more about what they do. So the Division of Services for the Blind provides services to people who are visually impaired, blind, deafblind, to help them reach their goals of independence and employment. That's exactly what they do. Before we get started, we want to let you know that there are still free at-home COVID-19 tests for people with disabilities in North Carolina. If you're worried about exposure to COVID-19 and face barriers to accessing testing sites, you can request a free at-home test through a new partnership between NCDHHS and LabCorp. They are available to help with getting those free tests to people. All you have to do is, it's very easy to use. It's a rapid home test that gives results in minutes, and they detect the currently circulating COVID-19 variants. All you have to do for that is an easy use for you to do how to test for it at home. All you have to do is, before you test, store the test according to the manufacturer's instructions until you are ready to use it. Check that your home test has not expired and is not damaged. Keep the test directions handy so you can follow them. And you may need a smartphone to perform some tests and access your results. The manufacturer has instructions before using the test. Instructions shown there are general and may differ from those from specific other tests. However, you want to wash your hands before and after testing. You will collect a sample from your nose and test that sample. Your test result may be incorrect if you don't follow the manufacturer's instructions. Now, to get instructions for specific tests, here they are. Each test has different at-home instructions for you to have, so whichever one you get to take home with you is the one that you follow the instructions for, and each one will have the information for you to get the test and follow suit of what it tells you to do. But what does come in the test kits, they vary again based on the manufacturer, but most kits come containing two tests. Each test has three items: a tube with liquid, collection swab, test strip, card, or cassette. And you place these items on a clean surface to begin. There are different things you can do with that. After you do that, you get a sample from your nose. You remove the swab from the package. Do not touch the soft end. You insert the entire soft end into one of your nostrils, no more than 3/4 of an inch. Slowly rotate the swab. Gently press against the inside of your nose at least 4 times for a total of 15 seconds. Then you gently remove the swab. Using the same swab, repeat steps 2 and 4 in your other nostril. Now, in the test your sample, these are general instructions, and they may differ from manufacturer's instructions. So with each test, that's what you follow. But generally, for an example, some tests require you to stir your swab up to 15 times. Others don't, but you need to read the complete manufacturer's instructions before using the test. Again, you want to after you have swiped your nose, you want to insert the swab into the tube, stir at least 5 times, squeeze the tube size against the swab as you remove it, return the cap, tap the tube to mix your sample, squeeze squeeze 3 drops from the tube onto the test strip. Set a timer based on your test's instructions. You read the results. If you do not see a red colored line in the control area C of the test, the result is invalid. Please discard the test and try again with a new test. If you continue to have invalid results or need help, contact the test manufacturer or a healthcare provider. If you see a red colored line in the control area C, your test worked correctly. If you do not see a red colored line in the test line, your test result is negative. A negative result does not rule out COVID-19. Test again later if needed. If you see a red colored line in the test line, your test result is positive. Even a faint line next to the T means your test is positive. So these are just what you can do. What I'm telling you is something basically what the test involves. But of course, each test is a little different. And of course, you have those and you can get instructions from you can get help from the instructions as well as the healthcare professionals that you get the tests from so that they can help you take it if you should need help. And if you do test positive, of course, once again, you let your healthcare professional know so they can tell you exactly what you need to do, as far as making sure that you stay safe and your family stay safe as well. And again, you can get up to 4 free tests mailed to you through covidtests.gov. That's covidtests.gov. You may be able to pick up free home tests at a North Carolina organization near you while supplies last. NCDHHS is partnering with community organizations called Community Access Points for test distributions. You get the free test now so you're prepared for the holiday travel and gatherings. And where you can pick up a test, all you need to do is enter your zip code on the computer, or you can call DHHS and they can let you know where you can go to get your free test. And their location is you can contact them at 1-800-662-7030. You can contact them at 1-800-662-7030. They're also at 2001 Mail Service Center, Raleigh, 27669. As we continue for some great inspiration to let you know what's out there and available at the ncdhhs.gov, they have Business Enterprise Program. The Business Enterprises Program gives legally blind participants the opportunity to operate their own food service or vending facility. This program provides initial training for potential licensees and ongoing counseling and management services to establish operators. The amount of training a participant receives depends on an individual's prior qualifications. Facilities can be located in federal and state buildings, rest areas, and welcome centers, and other private locations. Facility operators retain the majority of the net proceeds. A small percentage goes to the Division of Services for the Blind, that's DSB, to assist with program operations expenses. Your eligibility, if you are legally blind and an adult, 18 or older, you are eligible to apply for this program. You must be a U.S. citizen, have no felonies, and be physically able to perform the work. You will be evaluated for basic academic skills, math, and food service. How to apply? To become a facility operator, successfully complete Business Enterprises Training Course and the on-the-job training with an established facility operator, becoming licensed by the DSB, apply for and successfully compete for a vacant facility. After you have received a vacant location, you will enter into a contractual agreement with the DSB. If you would like more information about the Business Enterprise Program, all you have to do is contact the DSB District Office. And you can find whichever one is closest to you that will help you with this information. And again, the number you can call for different locations. You can contact 1-800-422-1897. And that is for the areas of Chatham, Cumberland, Harnett, Hoke, Lee, Moore, Richmond, Robeson, Sampson, and Scotland. And for the Raleigh District area, which is Durham, Franklin, Granville, Johnston, Orange, Person, Vance, Wake, and Warren, again, that one is for our area is 1-800-422-1871. And the physical address is 307 Ash Avenue, Raleigh, North Carolina. And if these areas are not the area in which you need, you can also, when you call the local Raleigh location at 1-800-422-1871 or 919-527-6740, they will gladly let you know where you can contact the one that's closest to you to get that information. And since we're talking about business programs, let's talk about business incentives. Their goal is to establish a cooperative, long-term, mutually beneficial relationship with you, the employer, and the services for the blind. Candidate trial period, recruiting and hiring is expensive and time-consuming for employers. So to save your valuable resources, they can arrange a trial period for a job candidate before you make the final hiring decision. This will take care of Fair Labor Standards Act, which is the LFSA paperwork. They will do everything they can to find the best candidate for your business. This is for business owners. And custom referral services. Their candidates' assessments are conducted by the rehabilitation professionals. Their team of rehabilitation professionals will talk with you about your needs for your business before they refer other qualified job candidates. Each candidate's skills, strengths, and job readiness are determined prior to the referral process. And at employer tax incentives. They can help with the payroll tax incentives up to 40% of that first $6,000 of the employee's first year wage, the work opportunities tax credit. They do the paperwork. You just have to sign it and mail it back to them. Other tax credits are also available. The disabled access tax credit, welfare to work tax credit, architectural and transportation removal deduction, the follow-up services as well. And if your employee's work functions or job processes change, they provide a follow-up service for required training or adjustment to update your employee's skill level or job process. On-the-job training can assist you with some of the costs associated with training your new employee, the time it takes to train your new employee, and the amount of ongoing assistance they provide is negotiable. Workplace accommodations, their counselors, employment consultants, and other technology specialists are available to answer any questions that you might have about accommodations for new employees. They can recommend affordable solutions and provide ordering and setup assistance for any required assistive technology purchase. Workplace diversity. They have a diverse workplace is a great business asset. Hiring one of qualified candidates that can improve the company's bottom line, help meet the diversity objectives, including 503 obligations, and positively affect the company's culture and public image. The visual disability loss in employment, hiring someone with vision loss can be a great addition to a company, but supervisory staff may not know how to educate their other employees about the accessibility tools and accommodations required for an employee with vision loss. So they have teams of professionals that can speak with you and your employees to educate and prepare them on visual disability and employment. Contact information. Again, if any of your employees are struggling to keep up with various job tasks due to vision loss, their counselors and specialists in the district office may be able to help. They can identify the solutions and accessibility technologies that that person may need to retain that job, and so you can retain your valued employee. Again, for more information, contact 919-527-6790 or 919-733-9703. Again, that's 919-527-6790 or 919-733-9703. And here's some great inspirational stories from MuseumNext.com. How museums can remove barriers to access for blind and partially sighted people. We tend to think of museums and galleries as visual spaces, but it's important to remember that a visit to a museum can be just as worthwhile for blind and partially sighted individuals as it is for visitors who don't live with visual impairments. Over the years, the issue of accessibility has rightfully garnered more attention within the museum community. Taking steps to ensure that exhibits offer value to blind and partially sighted individuals has become essential rather than optional for institutions around the globe. In 2022, more people have started to notice that this was something that was very important and valuable. This means ensuring that both on-site and online programming allows caters for these unable to participate in visual things, making accessibility intrinsic. Even the simplest changes and provisions can make a big difference to the museum experience for a person living with visual impairments. Comprehensive audio guides and audio descriptive displays can instantly make works more accessible to those with visual impairments, while tactile options like 3D printing help to bring other senses into play within the museum setting. At a time when there is huge progress being made in the interactivity and immersiveness of installations, thanks in large part to the ready availability of suitable digital devices and technologies, museums find themselves equipped with more tools and solutions than ever before to stimulate all the senses and make exhibits accessible for all. Do not touch was once a regular theme with museum walls, but disregarding this mindset can help institutions to better cater for those less able to simply view from afar. As well as visual works, there are many examples of museums exploring ways to enhance experiences through touch, sound, and smell. This is an approach utilized particularly well by Spain's Museum for the Blind, which was founded back in 1992. The museum includes exhibitions specifically tailored to the visually impaired, including models of famous buildings, complete with tactile paintings, sculptures, and textile art. It also heavily features art made by blind people, as well as installations of art related to blindness. Including tactile works within museum spaces is also well established in many institutions today. Indeed, the likes of London's V&A has been offering tactile sessions for blind and partially sighted visitors since 1985. The museum hosts special events catered to the visually impaired throughout the year, focusing on a wide range of museum collections. They offer detailed pre-visit information on their website, available in audible form, which is essential for maximum accessibility, and there are many tactile objects located through the museum. Audio guides can also be used to help blind visitors locate these objects. Offering tailored museum tours. While audio descriptive guides are widely implemented in museums in order to support exhibitions, some museums are going one step further by providing enhanced guided tours that are specifically designed for visually impaired visitors. The Smithsonian is one such organization. Twice a month, the American Art Museum offers insight tours led by trained individuals who take blind and visually impaired visitors around the museum, offering interactive experiences and vivid descriptions. This kind of personal touch can make blind and partially sighted visitors feel more valued and at home in the museum environment rather than isolated and potentially disillusioned with their experience. Utilizing technology for inclusivity. There are, of course, instances where visual art is difficult to translate into touchable or audible form. And as any gallery team will know only too well, many works of art must be kept securely behind glass screens and at a safe distance from museum visitors in order to preserve their integrity. However, recent advancements in digital solutions means that there are an array of alternative options available to museum teams looking to engage a visually impaired audience both online and in person. In particular, the digitization of artworks has made it possible for online visitors of all abilities to get up and close and personal with their favorite pieces virtually, enjoying the Mona Lisa at one's leisure without jostling against other tourists is a revelation that many museum lovers of all types have discovered over the course of the pandemic. Elsewhere, innovations like 3D printing are becoming widely used both inside and out of museums, providing a means for blind and non-blind visitors alike to get closer to incredibly accurate replicas of museum objects and artifacts. Back in 2016, the Virginia Historical Society teamed with Virginia Commonwealth University to create 3D models of some of the museum's existing artifacts, including a 1622 iron breastplate and even George Washington's signature. This gave visitors a chance to handle objects whose shape and size were virtually discernible from those kept firmly behind glass. Likewise, in 2018, the National Gallery of Prague created a virtual reality experience called Touching Masterpieces, which allowed visually impaired visitors to touch some of the museum's most famous sculptures, including Michelangelo's David. Ultimately, technology can bring us all closer to art, whether we are visually impaired or not. With so many examples of museums exploring new ways to exhibit with a blind and partially sighted audience in mind, it's exciting to think what future exhibitions may hold for the visually impaired community. To find out more about the most recent accessibility and inclusivity initiatives taking place in institutions today at the upcoming Museum Health and Wellbeing Summit, you can find out more information by going to museumnext.com. And this should give you inspiration before we close out. Day program activities for adults with disabilities. This is ways to help us stay all engaged. Adults with disabilities are 3 times more likely to suffer heart disease, stroke, cancer, or diabetes than adults without disabilities. This is according to the Center for Resources and Disease Control, CDC. These are the adults with severe difficulty hearing, seeing, walking, remembering, concentrating, or making decisions, and those with limited social and motor skills. In recent years, adults with disabilities have been encouraged to lead an active life through daily program activities. This is not only because an active lifestyle can improve and influence the mood and health of a disabled adult, but also because it makes them feel more integrated into society. Today, the care of older adults is a problem many have to deal with, especially with a recorded increase in the life expectancy of Americans. But caring for adults with developmental or intellectual disabilities need not be a challenge. Adapting fun day activity programs is a guaranteed way to help adults with disabilities enjoy and see life from the bright and sunny side. Day activities flow creative juices and support adults with disabilities, quickly learning to cope with everyday cognitive and mobility challenges they may face. This article from Rosedale.org talks about that. The article posts some excellent suggestions, one-day programs for adults with disabilities. Cognitive and memory activities for adults with developmental disabilities. Adults with cognitive mental disabilities may often find large social gatherings and settings uncomfortable. This is because such an environment is a low trigger point for them. It is therefore best to work with them at their own pace after carefully studying the type of things they like and do not like. This will give you an indication of what their comfort levels are. Here are some of the cognitive day activities that you can use to create thrill and excitement in their brain. Language classes. Practicing a different language is an excellent way for adults with disability to practice their ability to recall information, speak, and improve critical thinking. Board games. Playing games such as Cranium C and Charades is a great way for adults to help get more intellectually stimulated. Card games. Card games such as Over the Line, a fun combination of Pictionary and Charades, are good card games that will help develop good communication and relationships. Lego games. Lego games engage you in hours as you try to figure out the puzzle and connect the pieces. These are all wonderful, wonderful ways to make people feel more invited. Mobility activities for adults with developmental activities are physical exercises and activities that are great things to do, such as bowling. Bowling is a fun activity to take an adult with a disability. Knocking down those balls is a great thing. A nature walk, walking by the beach, botanical park, or any other natural site is a wonderful thing to get back to nature. Going to an amusement park. Amusement parks are fun to visit, from the water fountain rides to roller coasters. This is all ways to help. All outdoor activities and experiences are great ways to make everyone feel positive. And like we said before, going to the museum is a great way to experience that kind of nature and exposure to some wonderful art and wonderful things in life. I so hope this information that we gave to you will be so much help. However, we run out of time for this episode of Connect to Success. We hope that you've enjoyed it. I'm your hometown girl, Shadate Hargett Hill, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long until next time. See you next time on the radio.